Thank you, Dr. Weaver. I was looking back there seeing Dr. Barber back there. So I said, thank you, Dr. Barber. I'm still not back on track from last Sunday. We got caught in a traffic jam, what I am, last Sunday afternoon. Some of you may have gotten into the same mess. And I wasn't as creative as Donald King was. They said he drove on the shoulders and across the grass and passed a police car on the wrong side of the road, but he got here on time, and I didn't. In fact, I got here just as the service was ending. That's kind of the story of my life. Not a good feeling when you pull into the parking lot and there's so many empty parking places. Everybody was already leaving. So we came in and we apologized to everybody we could find. And we talked to Dr. Weaver and apologized to him. And he was so gracious, he invited us out to eat. And so we went out to eat and we went to the appointed restaurant and it was closed. And then we had no idea where to go, so we went home. But last Sunday night was a red-letter day in our lives. We'll never forget it, that's for sure. Thank you for coming tonight, and thank God for his unspeakable gift. I think about the Falwell family. I don't know, or didn't know Dr. Falwell well. I did know a number of people that did know him well, and to one, they all described him as a delightful Christian gentleman, and a fellow that was a lot of fun to be around, and a prankster. And I know his family is hurting tonight, and I hope we'll all pray for them tonight. And then there's a college full of kids out there that loved him like a daddy. I think nearly 10,000 of them, and they're hurting tonight too. Open your Bible, if you will, to the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 16, and we'll read just the first 14 verses. Warren Wiersbe calls chapters 15, 16, and 17 portraits of failure. But in the middle of those portraits of failure, there's a great love story that's given to us that can apply to each of us as the grafted in branches and as recipients of God's grace. And I'd like for us to look at that wonderful story. Ezekiel begins his chapter by saying, again, the word of the Lord came unto me. You know, it's important when you and I hear preachers that begin and end their message by saying, thus saith the Lord. It's one of the things I've always enjoyed about Dr. Barber. Quite often, his commentary is scripture. His scripture is scripture. And his message is scripture. And his exegesis is scripture. His opening statement is scripture. And his closing remarks are scripture. And every time I hear him do it, I want to quit the ministry because I can't do that like he can. And what a blessing he is to all of us. But the Word of God is what we're here to study tonight. So many misteachings of the Word of God. And this church has had a rich heritage. All those years of Dr. Barber, and now 10 years with Dr. Weaver, and I've had the privilege, and by the way, when we're here, we're not guests, we're at home. And that's so wonderful to have some place, you know, you can nail down, and we're everywhere. Have you ever heard that Johnny Cash song, you know, I've been everywhere? Well, that's kind of the way I feel sometimes. And all these motels look just alike. Until you turn out the lights and you can't remember which way the bathroom is. Some of you have been there. You know what I'm talking about. They don't appreciate it if you use the closet either. That's all you'll ever remember. I shouldn't have said that. Let's read our text. The Word of God. Ezekiel 16, 1 through 14. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth, and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan, Thy father was an Amorite and thy mother an Hittite. As for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. And I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxed and great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thy hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then I washed thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered works, and shod thee with badger skin, and girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain on thy neck, and I put a jewel in thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and broidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful. Thou didst prosper into a kingdom. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I put upon thee, saith the Lord God. Heavenly Father, would you help me to be your messenger boy? For these next few moments, would you fill me with your Spirit? And dear God, would you use me tonight? Lord, we need your help and we need your intervention. And I know that what needs to be done, I can't do unless your Holy Spirit chooses to empower and fill me. And so I yield myself to you. Lord, I don't have much to offer, but I give everything I have. Lord, would you use me tonight? Would you speak to our hearts? Would you fill these altars at the invitation? Would you help us to be grateful people? Would you help us to be obedient people? Would you help us to be your children tonight for Jesus' sake? Amen. He begins by saying, the word of the Lord came to me. Ezekiel only spoke when God told him to speak. I firmly believe there was something that Dr. Weaver preached last Sunday night when I was supposed to be here that needed to be preached or I would have been here. I'm convinced of that. And preachers and missionaries must be led. I've heard in some of the Bible college and I've heard preachers talk about how they mull over the needs of their people and they think about it and they come up with what they think is the greatest need that their church or their people or the ones that they're going to be preaching to have, and they choose a message and they fix up a message to meet that need. I'm not so sure that's God's way. You see, God takes a man of God and fills him with the Spirit of God and places before him the Word of God. And then out of the Word of God, there are so many choices that we can make that unless He makes it for us, I suspect we're going to make the wrong choice. And that's what Ezekiel was talking about here. Even religious leaders in his day had become idolatrous. Look with me, if you will, to Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 30, and then on down the line just a little. Ezekiel 33... Verse number 30, he says, "Also thou son of man, the children of thy people are still talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of their houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord? And they came unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear the words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. You know, we need to be careful. When the pastor, the man of God, filled with the Spirit of God, enlightened by that same Spirit of God, and before him the Word of God, opens that Word to us, and from the message that he's distilled all week long, he gives us a few drops that we desperately need. Our commentary doesn't necessarily need to be, you know, boy, that was a real great message. I love that joke he told, or that illustration, or whatever. That doesn't necessarily need to be our commentary about what's preached. In another place, it says the words had become beautiful music. You know, you and I are stewards. And when the man of God bears the platter before us and feeds us from what God has given him to feed us, and we leave just like we came, we're in big trouble. We have disobeyed God. Now, we have a great preacher. We have a great teacher, preacher. In fact, that's been the history of this church. And most of the fundamental people in our nation know of both of these men. Dr. Barber is recognized as one of the great preachers of our generation. In fact, I'm not sure he's got any peers. A great preacher. A great man, a great friend, a second father for Becky and I in many ways, though he's probably not old enough to be my father. Certainly his wife doesn't look old enough for him to be my father. But then we get to this passage. Chapter 15, he talks about a vine. I won't go there. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. And he wants us to bear fruit. He wants us to bear fruit that will remain. And so often we're fruitless because we're mute. We simply don't give the wonderful story of salvation. We talk about everything in the world, but we don't bring people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ because we never completely give them the gospel. I witnessed to a man today in our home. It was yesterday in our home. And I gave him the gospel. But you know, I didn't draw a line in the sand and ask him to come over and join me. I did encourage him to come to this church. But you know, most lost people are not going to come to a church until they already know the Lord. They need the Lord, and people really do need the Lord. He talks in chapter number 16 about an unfaithful wife. And that unfaithful wife in this particular issue is Israel. And he begins by telling this great love story that I'm going to share with you tonight. And then he, in the next chapter, in chapter 17, and I won't even try to go there, he talks about three limbs on a tree and two eagles. Now, I hope somebody will preach a message on that someday. It ought to be a good one. But tonight, I want to talk about a love story that's nestled in the middle of these messages that are showing error. And the way this message was birthed was through a report that missionary Steve Vellante sent out. In that report, there was a picture of a baby. A baby in the Ivory Coast. You may remember seeing that in that particular report, Pastor. But here's a little baby that's all swollen and all covered with ant bites. And I asked Steve about it, and he told me the story. There's a children's home there. There was a missionary there that started a children's home, and when the rebels came in and the revolution took place and the American government insisted that all Americans leave, he had to leave the country. And when he left the country, He tried to shut down the children's home because there was no way he could administer it. There was no way he could finance it. There was no way he could run it. And so he told them, he told the leaders, try to find someone to take each of these children and care for them. And he had to leave hurriedly at the peril of his own life. This is not a criticism of this missionary. But the pastor could find no one. They're at war. They're having terrible needs. The church can't even support the pastor, and yet there was no one to take care of these children. So the best he knew how, he and his wife were trying, and it wasn't going too well. And Steve Volante visited him. It's just across the border into Equatorial Guinea from Ghana. And he found out his plight, and he said, well, we're helping children in Ghana, and they're helping children all over Mexico, and we'll do what we can. And he talked to me about it, and we decided to go ahead and try to help sponsor these kids. And so we found supporters, or Steve found supporters for most of them. And then I found supporters for a couple of them. In fact, our children's home took on two of the kids there in Africa. But this little baby was born, and we don't know the story because they don't know who the mother and dad are. What they suppose is that this baby was the child of a prostitute who didn't even know who the father was, and that she was more than likely infected with AIDS. So she took her newborn baby, still covered in blood, and she put it just outside the house of this African pastor where he was caring for these orphans. And she just laid the baby in the dirt. The baby was never cleaned up, did not have its navel tied, was covered with slime and blood. And when the missionary woke up, he kept hearing faint whimpering and cries outside. And when he got outside, he saw this little African baby completely covered with ants. Ants in its mouth, ants in her ears, ants all over her little body. And the baby was screaming with what little strength it had. And that preacher took that baby and he swept the ants off best he could, and he took it inside, took the child inside to his wife, and she gave the baby a bath, and they tried to suckle the child, and the child was so swollen and so sick and so close to death that they took the baby to a little primitive hospital, and there they fought for the life of that child for about 2 weeks, and somehow she lived. Now she's got some people that love her. Maybe a few more here tonight. Amen. I read that. I heard it with my own ears talking with Steve, and I thought of this passage. And I thought about you and me and how at one time we were those babies thrown out by sin, thrown out for our own destruction, marching silently toward the precipice of hell. And our God, through His Holy Spirit, whispered to us, and He said, like He said here to Israel, live. Come to Jesus. Receive Him as your personal Savior. I want you to look, if you will, with me here in Ezekiel chapter number 16. He said, and when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. And every person in this building tonight if you know Christ as your personal Savior, has been in that particular predicament. You couldn't save yourself, and I couldn't save myself. And the Spirit of God came and blew His holy breath upon our wicked souls. And He began to convict us. And He said, live. This abandoned child, covered with blood and covered with filth, shows us a great love story. It's a love story for the city of Jerusalem. It's a love story for the nation of Israel. He begins talking about the birth and the call of Abraham from the Ur of the Chaldees. I'll remind you that Abraham's parents were idolaters. And that was his history. He tells us about the marriage, God's covenant with Abraham. He talks about spiritual prostitution, idolatry. He talks about the consequences, the destruction, the horror of all of this. And then he rebukes them because they'd turned from him. And he'll rebuke you and he'll rebuke me when we turn from him as well. And then God takes his unfaithful wife to court. And while he's in that courtroom scene, he pauses and he tells this love story. Look at verse number 3. Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan, and thy father was an Amorite and thy mother a Hittite. Born, nativity, Canaan, the Canaanites. In Jerusalem, the Amorites, the Hittites. And then Jerusalem was actually held by the filthy Jebusites. Then he talks about the birth. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. No cleansing, no nothing. An abandoned child thrown out like a dead dog, like the garbage. Not even humane treatment. The umbilical cord left to ooze. No washing. No saline solution. I have 5 children. I have 7 grandchildren. I cannot imagine this. When I saw the picture of that child there in Africa, my heart was broken. I have a mother who loves me. She was here last Sunday when I was supposed to be here. She wasn't worried about the fact that I wasn't going to preach. That was her baby boy. She was worried about whether I was the one in the wreck or not. No swaddling clothes. No nothing. No protection for the limbs. No pity. No compassion. No nothing. But then God passed by. Do you remember when He passed by you? You remember when He said to you, Brother McGay, hey, you remember when He said, live! I'm going to tell you something. He didn't get much when He got me. I listen to introductions sometimes and I want to duck. I guess, Brother Barber, I know too much about myself. But by divine grace, did the baby earn this love? No. Did that filthy baby deserve that love? No. That's the story of salvation. And we ought never to get away from that story. I was at Dr. Robertson's funeral. Our pastor emeritus, some others were there. Dr. Phipps. Dr. Robertson always preached very, very simple messages. But you never heard him preach that he didn't make a beeline to the cross and tell people how to be saved. That child grew and multiplied and matured. Look what it says about this child. It says, I washed thee with water. I washed away thy blood from thee. I anointed thee with oil. By the washing of water and the regeneration of the Holy Ghost. He says, I anointed thee with oil. The Holy Spirit of God, who came to live and abide with us, is the oil that he's talking about here. He said, I clothe thee. He said, I took the blood off of you. I cleansed you. I clothe thee with broidered works. Ah, this child in verse number 7 began to mature. Says, I caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field. Thou hast increased and waxen great and become to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, this little girl, child. And thine hair is grown where thou wast naked and bare. And I passed by thee, and behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over me. Do you recall in the book of Ruth, where Ruth came to the threshing floor and she had been getting some of those handfuls on purpose, or off purpose actually. And her mother-in-law told her, she said, you go to the threshing floor when it's dark and you find where Boaz is and you lay down at his feet. The ultimate act of submission. He could have violated her as a wanton. He could have done so many things that he didn't do. But it says he covered her with his skirt. It was a time of love. He didn't take advantage of a situation and comprise her. He began at that moment to do everything he could to take her as his bride. And you know, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you and me and for all the world. We were like that baby thrown naked on the field to the loathing of our persons. And he said, live. He not only did that, but he adopted us into his family. And then when we had nothing to offer, he spread his skirt over us and he said, I'd like for you to be part of my bride. Amen. And he's our groom. It's the time of love, the redeemed, the bride, the skirt was spread. He said, I'll give you my name. I'll give you my property. I'll give you my inheritance. And get this, he said, I'll pay all your debts for you. Amen. I have a debt I could never pay. And I owe a debt that I could never pay. But I love that song, Jesus paid it all. Amen. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Now don't use that for the offertory, but that's a great song. The time of love. He washed her with water, the word of God. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Sing it with me. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. He anointed us with oil. His Spirit indwells us. For the young people that are in here, do you know why you don't need to pay your $20 and walk into a discotheque? Because if you're a Christian, you're taking the Holy Spirit into that den of iniquity. Why should we be choosy about where we go and what we read and what we see on television and all these things? Because God has condescended to place His Holy Spirit within us and to dwell within us, something the patriarchs could never have understood. He illuminates. You ever been reading along in the Word of God? And when you, while you're reading, it looks like, man, there's a light out of heaven just whew, and you say, I've never seen that before. little bells and whistles start going off. I see Brother Barber back there, and after hearing him preach all these years, he's heard a lot of bells and whistles and seen a lot of lights as he's been just simply reading in the Word of God. He fills us. By the way, he'll fill any Christian who's willing to be empty of the filth of this world. He perfumes us. He makes us smell better. I love to be around my nieces, Damara, and well, all of them. Because they always come up and hug me. And I like that. And almost invariably, after they hug me, they'll say, "You smell good, Uncle Mike." You know what will make you smell good? You don't have to go to Dillard's and spend $35. You stay in the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit perfume your life. That's the real smell good that all of us need. He'll guide you. You say, "How in the world did you get to Mexico?" He guided me there. "How in the world did you go to 40 other countries and drag your wife all over the world?" He's our guide. She went from nakedness to the very finest of clothing. Embroidered. The story of redemption is embroidered and sewn into the fabric of our lives. Shod with those fine skins of badger. You see in Ephesians 6 that we're shod with the preparation of the gospel. Girded with fine linen, we're a royal priesthood. Covered with silk, we've been placed in the royal family. We have ornaments, the symbols of royalty, and bracelets, the symbol of relation. We have a chain of a royal lineage. I am the adopted son of the King of Kings. And so are you in Christ. She had a jewel that was peculiar to the daughters of the king. She had earrings that gave her the stature of a princess. She had a crown on her head, a ruling family. She had gold in verse number 13, the deity of the father, the deity of the groom. She had silver. She had been redeemed. She had fine linen. She was in the priesthood. She had silk, the royal robe. She had everything. The finest of foods, the finest of breads, the honey, the royal honey. She was beautiful. She was prepared. And according to verse number 14, even the heathen saw her beauty. "And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God." I don't have time to develop it, but we see verses 15 to 34, her great sin. She was prosperous, she was famous, but she forgot that she was that baby thrown out in the open field to the loathing of her person. She used God's gifts to worship idols. Be careful, family of God. Probably the only way in the world any of us can keep from falling into idolatry in this area and worshiping material things is by giving and giving heavily to the work of God through the local church, through your missions programs. When you get through tithing, you've only started. God talks about us robbing the Lord in our tithes and offerings. Will a man rob God? You know what we're robbing God of when we rob him that way? We're not picking his pocket. He still owns it all. We're robbing him of the glory that he should receive by meeting our needs. I've been praying for 8 months about a great need that we had. I had some cancer problems and several surgeries and many thousands of dollars of bills. At one point, $36,000 worth of bills. And we'd whittled on it some, but we still had a long ways to go. And I got a letter. The doctors had found out what was going on and sent a couple of letters on our behalf, and the insurance company agreed to pay off the rest of the bills. We had $16,000 taken off of our shoulders this week. That's easy to praise the Lord after the fact. You know what we need to do? We need to learn to praise the Lord just knowing what kind of a God we have and knowing He's going to take care of it. You say, I have a hard time tithing. You're an idol worshiper. Sacrifice? I have a hard time with that. Offerings? Don't let me lose my bunch here tonight. I love you. They worship creation rather than their creator, according to Romans 1. They abandoned their husband. She abandoned her husband for lovers. She was a pro. She even paid her lovers. She gave them time. She gave them money. She gave their children. She gave her children to them. You know what happens when you and I get away from God? Our kids pay the price. And if you don't want to come down to your grave with a broken heart because of your kids, you better live for Him as you're raising them. They made treaties with the lost. They married for influence. Kids to serve God, forget it. I was standing beside the son of a preacher. In fact, I had just preached in their church. And the young man came and his girlfriend was at his side. And he looked up at me and he said, "Brother Mike," he said, "I think God may be calling me to preach." No, he said, "I think God may be calling me to be a missionary." And she grabbed his arm right there in front of me, this girlfriend, and said, "Oh my God, no. Not that." I had prayer with him and he left. It wasn't long till that young lady was pregnant out of wedlock. And they married and stayed married a while and then split up, and then he married again, and then he split up, and then he married again. And by the way, if you've had that problem in your life, God loves you. He never quit loving you. But don't turn your back on God at any stage of your life. The great sins, immorality, and idolatry run hand in hand. But remember the love story tonight. Remember that African baby outside a little humble adobe home with dirt floors, weeping and wailing because nobody loves her. And then a man with nothing to offer but his own hands to clean the ants off and a little water to bathe the child and enough love to take it to a hospital, not knowing how he'd pay the bill, though it was only a few dollars. Our God came to us and He gave us everything. He said, "Live." Now, folks, we need to get our eyes off ourselves and on the Lord and on His mandate to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some of you parents, I was in a meeting just last week, and the pastor said to his church after the final message, I had preached there with Dr. Clifford Clark. By the way, pray for Dr. Clark. He got on an airplane, flew back to Tulsa, Oklahoma the next day, had a stroke and has been in the hospital ever since. I spoke with his wife today. And he asked the parents, he said, "How many of you would be willing to give your children to the Lord?" We just received the greatest faith promise mission offering they'd received in the history of the church. I've been with them now for 14 years in a row. They went from $22,002 14 years ago to $650,000 this year. But the greatest offering was not that $650,000. I looked across a platform every bit as wide as this one, and probably 8 or 10 people deep, there stood fathers with their arms around their two sons. Mothers with their arms around a daughter or two. Whole families, scores of them. His mom and dad said, "Lord, these are our children. If you want them anywhere in the world, they're yours." Have you done that with your kids? If you haven't, do it. Tonight, how long has it been since you said thank you to the one that said live, that loved you when you were unlovely? What a great night just to come and say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Father, we thank you for your precious word. Lord, for the one that's here, that all of this sounded so strange because they've never received Christ, would you help them to hear your voice from heaven saying, live? Would you help them to know that though they're in the filth and rot of sin in this world, that you're willing to save them and supple them and clothe them and place them in your family and pay their debts? God, would you bring them to come to Christ tonight? And then for families, would you help them to come and kneel in times of commitments? And for Christians, would you help us all just to say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us? Would you take control of this invitation, Father, and do something in our midst that would bring great glory to Christ? And we'll thank you for it. For it's in his name we pray.